I literally say no one in medical school or residency is having those conversations like, hey, yes, you can be a physician and blah, 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 blah. Now, mind you, if you only want to be a physician and you don't have other passions outside of that, that's completely fine. That's going to take up a lot of your time. And so that is absolutely fine. So I never want to make people feel like they have to be doing 8 zillion other things, but the conversation really needs to be had.
You're listening to the Melanin and Medicine Podcast, the show that teaches Black women in medicine how to live more fulfilled lives and go from just surviving to thriving. I'm your host, Dr. Omolara Owemedimo, board-certified pediatrician for over 16 years, former associate professor, and mom of two who overcame a brain disorder to finally rediscover my purpose and in less than 2 years, turn it into profit and peace as CEO and founder of 2 multi-6-figure companies. I now dedicate my life to supporting Black women as an empowerment coach, work-life integration mentor, and business strategist. So whether it be pivoting into your purpose, owning your power, turning your purpose to profit, or creating a limitless legacy, my guests and I always have you covered. It's time to get inspired, get a plan, and get to work. Welcome to the sisterhood. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Melanin and Medicine Podcast. It's Omolara here. And I am extremely excited because we're going to have some other voices on here today, other than my own. And so, as you all know, we've shifted back into bringing you some new content since during the summer. We released some of our most powerful re-releases. And I'm super excited we did that because those were some oldies, but real goodies, real gems. Over the summer, I also was engaging in basically starting a show on Instagram on our Instagram Live that we do at 7 p.m. every Friday called Meet the Maven. And the reason I did this was because I feel as Black women physicians, as we move into entrepreneurship, the thing that probably holds us back most is the fact that we a lot of times may not have the exposure to people who are doing it and learning from them. So we don't make the same mistakes. I think on my journey, I've been really transparent about how much investment I've done in my coaching. But also, I think the other piece of it has been investment in community, which is often why, you know, I think is the impetus for why I created our Passion to Profit incubator, because I wanted us not just to get coaching, but get it in a community of women who understand the challenges of being a physician, a Black woman physician, and also starting and building and growing your own business. And so what I think is really exciting was to bring in different women who are doing that and taking the step and having them share their lessons and also what they do. And so enlarging your network of really fabulous Black women physicians and some who are non-physicians. This is one of our earliest ones on the show, Dr. Kiara King, who is a Chicago-based OBGYN, but also is a lifestyle blogger, a content creator, a fashion maven. If you aren't following her on Instagram, you are missing out. But most importantly, I think she is just like a really beautiful soul. And in this episode, you'll hear the motivation for her to pivot, which included a transition from her job, which was rather sudden, and also kind of putting into perspective her role as a mom as well, and why pivoting and why starting her own business was so important for her goals and her dreams and aspirations. So super excited, very inspired by Dr. King. I hope you will be. And I hope for any of you who are listening, make sure if you have that drive, as I talk about, that calling, it won't go away. Really tap into that. And if you want to ease your way to move into entrepreneurship, make sure that you check out and apply to our Passion to Profit incubator. And we will review your application to see if it makes sense for you to join our community of Black women physicians who are building their own tables and giving them the foundation to do that, the community and the drive and the connection and the content, right? Basically the easy way to do it. And it's 12 weeks. So make sure you check that out. You can check that out, by the way, at bit.ly/passion2profitapply. Passion, T-O, profit,
apply. All right. So let's get into this episode. It's a goodie.
Hi, we're so excited to have you. Thank you for making time. I basically invited you on because I don't know if you get this, but when people are on Instagram and you follow them, you start to think like you know each other, like we know each other. And so great in terms of displaying motherhood, health stuff. I feel like I'm like, oh, I know everything about her. And I'm like, oh, but I've never met her. So this is
right.
Exciting. So first and foremost, for those people who don't know you, which I don't know why they don't know you, but could you just share a little bit about yourself before we get into the convo?
So I am Dr. Kiara King. I'm a board certified obstetrician and gynecologist in the Chicago area. Currently, I am homeschooling my daughter, and I'm a digital content creator, speaker, influencer, insert all of the other things.
Yes. Why I wanted to bring you on was because, like you said, you're like basically hashtag doing all the things, right? And it's like, okay, so people see this and they're like, wow, that's like great. And I think a lot of times people don't recognize kind of what it took before, like, how did you start that? And like, how do you decide, especially as physicians who very often we're told this is the path and this is how physicianhood is supposed to look. Mm-hmm. And then when you decide, hey, I want to do things differently, so it doesn't get always a great reaction. So I would love for you to share a little bit about what basically made you decide that you wanted to do things differently. And when did that happen for you?
So for me, it happened right before I had my daughter, actually. I was part of an employee practice, and they told us 2 days before my maternity leave that they were closing our practice. So I worked up until the very end because I was like, I am not going to be, I mean, you know, I'm obese. So I'm like, I am not going to sit around at home twiddling my thumbs, waiting for this baby to come. I just, you know, let me work up to the end. Like, there was no reason I couldn't work or anything like that.
Yeah.
And so I did take off basically by the time it was my due date because I didn't want to be in the office or anything like that going into labor. That just kind of a little bit irresponsible to schedule patients and then, you know, have to cancel. My due date was a Monday. My last day in the office was Friday before. And I found out that Wednesday they were going to be closing our practice. And that essentially, you know, because I was going to be on maternity leave for 12 weeks, there wasn't going to be a practice to come back to.
Yeah.
You know, it was going to be closed. It basically was going to be closing probably around the time I would have been like 6 weeks postpartum. You know, I know God does all things well. And so for me, like when it happened, it was shocking. And I was like, really? Like 2 days before maternity leave? Like, and I remember literally telling myself, okay, God, you must have something better because you wouldn't have allowed this to happen unless there was something better on the other side.
Exactly.
So I'm a firm believer of that, but it didn't make it any less shocking, at least initially. And so, you know, like I said, I was supposed to be off for like 12 weeks. And once I got, but God knew what I needed, because once I got to that 12 week mark, I remember looking at Kai and being like, I can't leave my baby. I was going to be leaving her with my mom. You know, it wasn't like I was leaving her with a stranger or anything like that. And I remember just being like, I can't leave my baby. Like, she needs me. But I know that, and God knows that likely had I had a job to go back to, I would have gone back to work. And I would have gone back to work and I probably would have been sad and I probably would have had a milk supply tank. And so I got to the point I was enjoying being off work because, as you know, as a physician, you're in medical school forever.
Mm-hmm.
You're in residency forever, working zillion hour work weeks. Then you go on to be an attending and you're working. But rarely are there times that we just get unadulterated time to ourselves, like where we're just like not on anybody else's watch. And I remember thinking like, I like this. You know, it was weeks and then it was months. And then right around the year mark, I started kind of looking for potential jobs. But before that, I started blogging when she was roughly about 6 months. You know, a friend of mine that I grew up in church with years ago, when I first almost got out of residency, was like, you should start a fashion blog. And I was like, I just couldn't see it then. Yeah. And so after I had Kai, I was talking to one of my cousins who was a reporter, but also had 3 young children. And she was like, I think I'm going to be a mommy blogger. And I was like, really? And she was like, yeah, you can do some really great things. So I kind of started thinking about it. I mean, I've always loved fashion. And I thought about what my friend told me, yeah, with a fashion blog. And then, you know, my cousin and I have been talking about like mommy blogging and things like that. And I was just like, huh, okay, maybe that's something I can do. And so I thought about it. I had no idea what I was doing, but I started. And so that was kind of the transition point for me, was really the closing of the employee practice that I was part of, that kind of led me into a space of enjoying. I mean, who wouldn't enjoy free time? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Really seeing that I was enjoying just having that time that was mine, and I didn't have to show up anywhere at a certain time or do anything because somebody told me to do it. I was like a lady that lunches.
Yo.
You know, it essentially morphed into what it is now through a million different steps along the way. But yeah, I got really comfortable. And I got really okay with not being in this like set path that we were supposed to be.
This idea of physician pivot has come to me because, so we do this thing called Pivot Into Your Purpose workshop every 2 to 3 months. And we do it for Black women physicians. And the reason is because of what you just said. Mm-hmm. Unless there's like some mental health, physical health, or job loss, a lot of us kind of like believe that this is the only thing that we can do and are sitting on so many gifts. And it's like, we don't really take the time to start to think through, what else do I have? And sometimes, like you said, it takes other people being like, why don't you do, you do this well and you do that well. So I would love for you to talk about kind of, some people, there's this concept called Ikigai, and they talk about where what you get paid for brings you closer to what you love, what you're good at, what you think the world needs. So how do you feel like, do you feel like you're in your purpose right now? And what does that, like, how can people feel like that? What do you think is really important to acknowledge that, to acknowledge how that is?
Man, that's a loaded question. It's funny. I had a conversation with someone, now it's been a couple of years, maybe like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you're multi-passionate. And I'm like, yes, that is the perfect word. Like, I've never framed it in that point, but that is it. Am I walking in my purpose? Yes, I think so. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I have lots of purposes in life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I definitely think having time off from medicine allowed me to pursue some of those interests. I mean, everything I'm doing is stuff that I already like to do. Like, I didn't like go out and like say, like, I'm going to start like a bungee jumping course or something like that. But I have no idea of what the heck I'm doing. So yes, I do. But I think that speaks to the purpose that is within people. It's already there, but maybe you just haven't quite tapped into it yet for whatever reason, you know, because you're really focused on your actual career and not seeing how you can step out of actual career to do some of your other passions that you love. So yeah, I mean, I think I'm in my purpose. I mean, I think there's so much more that I have to do.
Yeah.
I think purpose is like an evolving process. You know, I'm in it, but I think there's more to be done with, you know, what God has for my life. So.
Yeah, I mean, because I agree with you. I think purpose is like a journey that you're just on.
Yeah.
And like, it's not that like Saul in Damascus moment where it's like, oh, this is it. So I think what you said, Kiara, is really important, because I think that people are expecting, one, that it's this one thing, right? I think that's the thing. Or people are expecting that, okay, like, how many of us were like, when we were younger, were like, being a physician alone is our purpose.
Yes.
And that's it. And then we get to being a physician, and then it's like, but I like these other things.
I say that all the time. when I've gotten interviewed and like asked this kind of about my journey, I literally say no one in medical school or residency is having those conversations like, hey, yes, you can be a physician and blah, 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 blah. Now, mind you, if you only want to be a physician and you don't have other passions outside of that, that's completely fine. That's going to take up a lot of your time. And so that is absolutely fine. So I never want to make people feel like they have to be doing 8 zillion other things. But the conversation really needs to be had, you know, with medical students, with residents, that, hey, if you love doing these other things, it's okay to continue to pursue them. It's okay to find a place where there's balance in you doing your job as a physician and your other, well, you know, whatever it happens to be. You know, it's obviously different for each person.
I feel like kind of this old lady on Instagram because I feel like there's so many of you guys who are doing like amazing stuff on Instagram and, you know, off of it, of course. And I think one of the things that gets me a little bit is, how do we make that shift? And how do we say to ourselves, you know, that I can do something different as Black women in particular? So, you know, like I do melanin in medicine and my goal is really around supporting Black women physicians. But I feel like sometimes some of us, I feel like it hits a little differently when people are like, yes, go pursue your purpose. And some of us are kind as Black women are kind of like, well, I don't know if I should do this, or I have to be completely sure. It has to be exactly perfect. Do you feel like there's some difference in terms of as Black women physicians versus like others of how we either are allowed to explore things or allowed to do things differently? Do you feel like there's a difference in that?
That's kind of hard to say because my personal experience was not necessarily that. My personal experience was not that like, oh, you shouldn't, couldn't do it. I actually didn't care what anybody else thought. Again, the prompting for me kind of changing gears and pivoting was, you know, me losing my job. And so I just got to explore and do what I want. I actually was ended up being off of work by choice for almost 2 years. Like I literally went back to work when she was like 22 months old. That's how I've always been. Like I was raised in such a way that like we were never told like what we couldn't do, what we shouldn't do. Like our parents just wanted us to do well. Like whatever, I have two sisters, whatever we chose to do, they wanted us to do well. So I've never come from a place where I had limitations like that on myself where I felt like I can't do it. Now don't get me wrong, have I ever done stuff and been like, oh my God, is it gonna work? You know, I mean, there's always those kind of like growing pains of like, is what you're doing going to work and things like that. But I've never necessarily had the fear of like stepping out and just doing something different. Like worst case scenario, it doesn't work. It's hard for me to answer that on a whole because everybody's experience, everybody's background, everybody's upbringing is so different. And so I would hate to generalize all Black women physicians in that way. Like I said, I can speak from my personal experience. And for me, I didn't have a problem pivoting. And honestly, that experience, one that has allowed me to have confidence in how I continue to navigate the world as a physician and just in general. Because then when I went back to work, I ended up being there for almost 3 years before I left again. So I've been off of work clinically. Obviously, I'm still doing things in the women's health and wellness space, but I've been off work for like a little over a year. But I had the confidence to be like, I don't have to do this anymore. I got to raise my daughter, not miss anything. And then when I went back to work and things started not looking how they were supposed to look, when they started feeling how they weren't supposed to feel, just in terms of becoming burnt out with certain things, I literally said to myself, I don't have to work like this. And I knew I didn't have to work like this because I had the experience of losing my job. Like, even though that seems kind of strange.
Exactly.
When people tell me like they've lost their jobs or they're having this big transition, I'm like, that's the best thing that's ever happened to you. Or it's going to be one of the best things.
Yeah.
Those pivotal changes in your life. So for me, it's all about perspective, you know? So if you have a perspective of, again, was this necessarily ideal at this time? Maybe not. But is this God's plan for my life? And his plan is ultimately the best plan for me? Yes. then I'm rocking with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I said, that allowed me to navigate other spaces in confidence and boldness that I maybe would not have had had that not happened. You know, I maybe wouldn't have had that sense of, I don't have to work. Like, I don't have to go to this job every day and be pouring my heart out and over and over and over. But then nothing is reciprocated, you know, when I'm making suggestions, when I'm you know, all that kind of stuff. I don't want to go into like, too many details. I think if you have that mindset shift that it's okay to change, whatever that may be, it can be so powerful for your entire life, regardless of whether it's work, whether it's personal, whether it's whatever.
All right, real talk. So everyone's told you how lucky you are. You overcame all the obstacles as a Black woman to become a doctor. You're excellent at your craft. You built a great reputation for yourself in your career. And your family and friends always tell you about how proud you must be at what you've accomplished. But right now, no matter how much you try to ignore it, you know there's something missing. You know you are meant for more. Let me know if this is familiar. Right now, you're an amazing doctor, but you feel drained in your work or aren't sure how long you can continue. You achieve so much, but somehow you still feel unfulfilled. Or you're unable to do the things you love because you're consumed by your work, most of which you aren't that passionate about anymore. And sometimes you even lay awake thinking about your great idea, but then dismiss it as unrealistic. But imagine if you could do the work that you love that invigorates you instead of drains you. Create work where you finally have some flexibility on how you spend your time and have the space to do the things you enjoy. You could stop dreading the work week and you could create the impact that you want without being put in a box. And what if you could make income that surpasses your salary and doesn't require you proving to someone that you're worth it? You know you need to do this, but you keep telling yourself, entrepreneurship is too risky and you're not cut out for it. You have so many other things to do, or you know what you want, but you don't have the clear plan and don't have time to put together a strategy. And you definitely don't have the support system or the people you need to help guide you in this journey. And you might have to learn new skills and new information and just is going to be too much. Well, I think that you're settling for good enough and it's time to transform your purpose into a profitable business and create the impact, the income, and freedom you were meant to make. So I want you to check out our Purpose to Profit Incubator, the only business incubator specifically for Black women doctors that provides integrated coaching, classes, combined with a safe community of aspiring Black women doctor entrepreneurs. And in 12 weeks, we help Black women doctors take their idea to income and build the foundation for a profitable and scalable business. This is not too good to be true. It exists. And I want you to apply so that we can figure out how you can turn your purpose to profit. Make sure you check out the link at bit.ly/purpose2profitapply. That's bit.ly/purpose2profitapply. I look forward to looking at your application and seeing how we can support you in building your table. In the words of June Jordan, like a lot of Black women, we've always had to invent the power our freedom requires. Talk soon.
Totally love that, because what you talked about, and I think it was the same when I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 2019, and I presented, I couldn't walk. My right side basically was like, bye, we're not. And like, my work had defined me. I was an academic pediatrician. So I was like research, education, clinical advocacy. And my body, I'm sure, like before I was hospitalized, my body was like, and God was like, can you just sit down a little bit?
Tone it down.
Slow down. And not listening. And ultimately, it wasn't until they took my work, they gave it to 5 different people. They had to split it among 5 people. And I was in rehab, relearning how to walk for 3.5 months. But I say, just like you, at the time, I was in tears.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
But that time to reflect, and I think that's the key word, because a lot of times we sit in that space and you can do one of two things. You can sit in there and be like, oh, look what I've lost and look what's going on, you know, or you can say what's yet to come. Like there's something coming here. And I think I, like you said, in medical school, I, you know, one of the great things I love about the workshop is that we talk about strengths, we talk about values, we talk about like just starting to do the work and remember and kind of rediscover who you are, because a lot of us are kind of being told how we should be.
Yes.
And this is how a doctor is supposed to do things. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I think the idea is not for medicine to decide who you are, but for you, what are you bringing to medicine?
Yeah.
And for your patient. And so when I see you, I'm like, oh yeah, that's the kind of OBGYN, you know?
Yeah. And it's really for us to decide how we want to be in medicine, but no one in medicine ever tells us that.
No.
Nobody ever has that conversation. But I remember when I was looking to go back to work, literally God lined it up so that I literally went into the perfect job at the time for me. I mean, I literally prayed because I was able to be with my daughter, not miss things, go and meet a friend for lunch. Because I could do all those things, I wanted to work part-time. In general, most nowadays it's a little bit different, but especially when we were in residency, like nobody's working part-time. I mean, with rare exceptions, like people are just pouring their entire life into medicine. But I was like, I want to work part-time, no call. And if I do have to take call, I wanted it to be very structured. God provided a job for me. I worked 3 days a week. I didn't have any call, but I didn't have a pager. I didn't have a call. I didn't have work weekends. I still was able to do like scheduled surgeries, so C-sections and scheduled cases. It was literally exactly what I prayed for. But it's because it's exactly what I prayed for. I didn't just give me an OB-GYN job. And the funny thing is, before I took that job, I was presented with, or had been looking at another job that didn't end up working out, because what they ended up presenting me with was basically a full-time position after I had made it very clear that I didn't want to do full-time. So it literally all worked out so well. So what we're looking for is out there. We just have to have the mindset that what we're looking for is out there.
Oh my God, that was so okay. If people aren't listening, that is like it, right? Like the vision, right? They say make the vision plain,
right?
Like a lot of, I remember, like I was mentoring one of the women I worked with, and she was saying to me, well, you know, the job that they're offering, it doesn't quite fit. I was like, she's in the institution. She's doing like all of these things. And I was like, you tell them what the job is that you actually like are doing, like the job of your dreams, and go with that. And I think we don't make time to think about, okay, what is the vision? What do I want life to look like? Mm-hmm. And how do I cultivate things now so that my life can look like that in the future? What are things that I can do? Especially, I think, you know, there's a certain privilege afforded, you know, as physicians. I want to be very clear about that, right? Where there's always being a doctor, there is always that, you know, push come to shove.
Right.
But there's also this piece, I think, especially as Black women, a lot of times, where it's like, let me suppress my emotions, let me like do certain things that don't allow for me to say or to, because I'm worried or I'm scared of what other people will think. And I think it's really cool. I know my experience was not like yours. My experience was very much like everyone says, put your head down, don't make waves, and then everything else will be roses. And that didn't actually work for me.
Yeah.
And that was kind of what prompted me to start to like say what I want, do what I need, and that worked a lot better. I think you're right. I think we have to start finding the time. A lot of us have ideas, but we don't write them down. Mm-hmm. We have projects. We have things that we want to pursue. We have certain things that we want to say no to, certain things that we want to say yes to, but we just say, well, this is how it is. So, you know, I guess I'll just settle with this.
Yeah.
At least I have a job, right? At least I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you tell me like what you would say are the three, like if anybody was listening and they're like, okay, Kiara, three things that, like, let's say I'm here, I'm burning, I'm like, oh, I know where I'm at, it's not where I'm supposed to be, or I know how life is, but It's scary. I don't want to do. What are three things that you think would be like most helpful for that person to do?
I mean, I think one, it depends on what they're scared of. Like, are they scared of leaving a job in pursuit of another job in medicine or putting medicine on pause for a little bit? You know, I think one thing you have to do there is obviously, like, you know, nobody just wants to walk away from their job and not have financial stability. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I do not advocate for anybody just walking away from a job and not knowing how they're going to put meals on the table. You know, if they have a family or for themselves. Really looking at, if I'm looking at completely walking away for a moment or for a brief season or transitioning to something else, how am I going to sustain myself? I mean, those are like real life questions that need to be answered. Asking yourself, is medicine still for me? Like, am I completely walking away? For me, I can say, right now, I kind of want to go back to work. But again, at this point, because of all the other things I've been able to do, I want to work like a day a week.
Yeah.
No, like, no joke. Like, but because I still know that I can have an impact, especially in our communities, like, that's what I miss is like seeing us and seeing the impact that I can have on us and the trust that can be built in our communities if we do it right. But again, in my mind, I'm like, okay, I want to go back. So again, negotiating those goals, what makes sense for you and being patient and also being specific. Yes, you can just say, I want to find a new job. But like, I'm literally like, okay, I want to find a job where I can see us, where I can work a day a week and still have an impact. So that's going to come at some point. I'm not like worried about it. Like, God has always provided and has always put the opportunities in front of me. So if I had to recap, I would say, you know, if you're considering transitioning, looking at your financials to make sure this is something that actually makes sense for you. And if it doesn't, preparing yourself.
Exactly.
It looks like you're working a couple more months to get some savings in place or something like that before you decide to transition, do that. And then, like I was saying, looking at your goals and being specific about them.
And one thing I think that you didn't mention, but it sounded like from your story, was don't be scared to kind of like either share or like be able to kind of get insight from others too, because like having that network of people, because it sounded like also there were people who were like putting little nuggets in your ear, like, hey, how about this fashion thing that you're doing? And how about this? So I think like, it sounds like also who are those trusted people potentially too, that you think like might be able to support what you're doing and be able to like help you think through like those goals that you're saying, like how else can we do that? The network. So I'm like super excited. I think that that is really helpful. I think, you know, one of the things that I would love for you to share is kind of what can people who don't know you, what is it that you're doing now? What are things that people can get involved in and learn more and whatever you're doing? Because you do so much. So what's up now?
I'm always doing like a zillion things. I'm always like, what is wrong with me? I'm like self-inflicting all this extra stuff. But then I actually kind of enjoy it. I'm doing a lot of things. So I obviously have my blog, drkiaraking.com, where I have everything from fashion to vegetarian and vegan recipes to motherhood stuff to features that I've been a part of in the media. I work on with different brand partnerships. So I've previously worked with some pretty large brands like Tampax and Always and Ollie. And so I have a few more pretty cool brand partnerships that I've already done this year, but that I also have kind of in the pipeline. I actually launched a line called Aging and Melanin. It's actually on Instagram.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yes, I posted. I probably need to post about it a little bit more, but of course, I'm always doing a zillion different things. This is for other people listening in terms of pivoting as well, is I have to also tell myself is, yes, God has given me these ideas. They don't necessarily all have to come to fruition at the same time. So even though he's given me these ideas, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to take place now, but it's there so that the process will eventually start one day. You know, we sometimes get ideas. It's like, oh my God, I got to do all this stuff. But I always have 8,000 ideas in my brain all the time.
So one thing that has helped me tremendously is, so I have notebooks, little things, like near my desk, in the bathroom. Like, it's a little insane. But what I found was, like, I literally have to just write it, like, to clear my, I have to just write it down. And then my brain's like, okay, good. It's taken care of.
I have notes in my phone. I think of something, I'll make a note about it every single time, because otherwise I'll forget it. And then, man, I had that really good idea earlier. What was it? I usually go to my notes and, like, just type it in, and it's there. And even if I can't quite remember it at some point, I can go back and scroll through those notes.
Exactly. Okay, yeah, guys, so you got that little hack, okay? So if you are struggling with it. So I'm still super thankful, and definitely this has been really helpful, because I think that a lot of us downplay how important it is to know our purpose and to know, create a vision and start to do that work. We're kind of like, oh, that's not necessary. And I really just wanted to bring on some women to talk about, like, how that's been so pivotal, like you already mentioned. But I'm so glad we finally got to connect. Thank you for spending some time with me.
I think especially in the space of medicine specifically, we just have to have these conversations more. And I mean, I have them with people in and outside of medicine.
Yeah.
But especially in the group of, you know, people that, you know, I have a few different messaging groups and things like that, that, you know, I'm always like, look, you're like, you leaving your job, girl, you're going to be fine. It's going to be the best thing. I will be that champion and, like, that person pushing people through that process all the time. Because although some of us are destined to, for the most part, spend our careers and passions in medicine, most of us probably aren't. And we all need to be around people that can help see that.
All right. So everyone know that if you are considering something, you can talk to me. You can talk to Dr. Kiara. Like, you need that, like, hype man, those hype people to be like, come on, girl. Come on, girl.
Yeah.
Thank you for this. Welcome. I know it's going to bless a bunch of people. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.